Today I'm going to talk to you about the perfect priest, and we read about him in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The theme of the book of Hebrews is the theme of Scripture. And the theme of Scripture is the excellency of Christ, the perfection of Christ. Throughout the book of Hebrews, he is contrasted with the Old Testament. And Paul painstakingly shows that he is better than all who have gone before. Christ is greater than Moses. He's greater than the angels. But ultimately, he's the greatest priest. He is greater than all the priests of the Old Testament. Indeed, the work of the priesthood has been fulfilled and completed in Jesus Christ and through his ministry, because he is the perfect priest and he is the complete priest. To be saved, you need a priest. To be in the family of God, you need a priest. We all need a priest. But it's not just any priest that we need. It is the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the best priest. Indeed, he is the only priest who can possibly suffice. Paul here in these verses describe why Jesus Christ is the perfect priest. He is the perfect priest because he is the perfect person. Paul simply describes him as this man. He said every priest, he's standing, he's daily ministering. He's offering many sacrifices, offering the same sacrifices. None of these sacrifices can take away sin, but this man. And suddenly he switches the attention away from all of the priests of the Old Testament to this man. And I want you to think about this one man. He is the one person that is truly important, the greatest person to ever walk the roads of this earth, the greatest person in human history is Jesus Christ, this man. There's no one like him. A priest was drawn from among men. He always had to be a man. And the purpose of the priest was to stand between God and men, to offer sacrifices to God on behalf of men, to offer prayers to God on behalf of men. The priest stood between God and men. He was the buffer between God and men. He was the one who made peace between God and men, and he did what God required on behalf of mankind. The priest represented men, he represented women, but to be qualified he had to be a man. But the problem was, all of the priests of the Old Testament were imperfect. We're all imperfect. There's no one that is sinless, and therefore the work of all the priests of the Old Testament was always incomplete, because the priests were always sinners. And up until the Lord Jesus Christ came, many priests had come and gone. But then this one man appeared, the greatest priest, the best priest. Suddenly all the other priests, they fade away. They become irrelevant. They are no longer required. Suddenly we have this one man who can take away sin because he is the perfect man. Christ is able to represent men as no other man ever could do, because he is the Son of God. He's perfect. He's sinless. Our eyes must be drawn towards him because of the perfection of his nature. He was a perfect man. He was an eternal man, because he died and rose again. He did what no one else ever had done. He rose again. The tomb was vacated. He rose again for us that we might live forever. Throughout the Scriptures, our gaze is continually being drawn to this man. And if you're to be a Christian, your mind must be drawn to this man, this perfect man, who is qualified to be our perfect priest. But Christ is the perfect priest, not just because he is the perfect person, but he's also the perfect priest because he offers a perfect presentation. This one man, Paul said, he offered one sacrifice for sins forever. The priests of the Old Testament They offered many sacrifices. They offered the same sacrifices. These sacrifices could never take away sin, but along comes one man who offers one sacrifice for sins forever. This is truly dramatic. The difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is quite profound, and we need to get a sense of how profound it is. How many sacrifices were offered under the Old Testament economy? There were the daily sacrifices every morning and every evening. There were special sacrifices offered, the sin offerings, the trespass offerings. There were the great feasts, which were the annual gatherings of the people. Passover, Pentecost, trumpets, Day of Atonement, tabernacles. There were particular occasions, such as in the dedication of the temple, when thousands of animals were slain. That old temple in ancient times was like a marketplace. It was like an abattoir. There were times the priests must have been knee-deep in blood. The smell of death was all around. It was a place of bloodletting, of sacrifice. As the carcasses of these creatures were placed upon the altar, the horrible, gory work never ceased. It went on year after year. And Paul, in Hebrews, he talks about the remembrance of sin. He says that all of this bloodshedding was a constant reminder of sin. The people were not allowed to forget they were sinners. And the price of sin, the price of forgiveness, had to be the shedding of blood. But yet the blood of all these sacrifices, in their thousands, could never take away sin. There was a futility in it all. Whatever they did was not enough. Whatever they did was not sufficient. Whatever they did, they had to do more. The ancient Jew is so like every person who follows a religion seeking eternal life from that religion. There are many today. They have their observances, they have their prayers, and they recite them and they go through them. They go through their ceremonies, and they're faithful to a church, they're faithful to a religion. They think that will somehow make them better, but you know they'll not. Religion never made a man better. Religion never made a woman better. There's only one person can change you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're following anything else apart from faith in Christ alone, then you're deluded, because whatever you do will never be enough. It'll never satisfy. It'll never satisfy your soul. It'll never satisfy God. It will never suffice. Not enough, not enough, not enough. There's only one who is enough. Only one who can provide a perfect salvation. That's Jesus Christ, who died for us. This one man, he offered one sacrifice for sin. It was a holy, blameless sacrifice. And he presented himself on the great sin offering. The priests of ancient times, they presented their offerings and their sacrifices, and they laid their carcasses upon the altar, and the altar burned. And then the high priest would go in every year to the holy place. He would sprinkle the blood. There was a constant presentation. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He offers one sacrifice. He makes one great presentation. Because he said on the cross, before he bowed the head, he said, "It is finished. The work is done. The work I came to accomplish is done. No more sacrifice." Because the Lamb of God was offered to bear away our sin. But there's one final thing about our perfect priest. He is the perfect person, and he offers the perfect presentation. But let's finally think about the perfect position. We are told that after he offered this one sacrifice, he sat down. He sat down at the right hand of God. The priests in the Old Testament, they stood. Their work was never done. This work was passed from one generation of priests to the next. And they were always standing, always in the move, because there was always more to do. But when Jesus Christ accomplished his work, he rose again, he entered heaven, he sat down. His work was done, his work was complete. No more offering. He rested, having completed the work that he came to do. And you today can rest in him. And you can cast your all upon him. And you can trust in him alone, and you can cry unto him to be your Saviour. Will you do that? Salvation is resting in Christ, the one who rests. Leaning upon Christ, the one who sits at the right hand of God. and he will be your Saviour if you ask him into your life, and you will have hope and peace and joy. I thank you so much for listening.